This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Monday, October 26, 2020. I'm Caleb Brown. There's not too much to like in the Joe Biden tax plan, according to Cato's Chris Edwards. He argues that many of the tax hikes that are supposed to be reducing the deficits, well, the assumption just isn't realistic. He also argues tax hikes on high earners and others could be enormously destructive to American competitiveness. Candidates are famously stingy with details about tax plans until often well into the election season, and even then, a lot of those don't hold up once they take office. What do we know at this point about plans for taxing and spending by Joe Biden?
Well, we actually know a lot. The Biden campaign has put out a lot of detail about both his taxing and spending plans. So over the next 10 years, his spending plan would increase federal government spending by about $5.5 trillion over 10 years, and he would increase taxes by about $3.5 trillion over 10 years. There's been lots of detailed modeling done on his plan, and unfortunately, these models are sort of often liberally biased or Keynesian biased. They assume that spending is good for the economy, and they sort of assume that taxes aren't too bad for the economy. And so they actually find that this giant increase in the size of the federal government wouldn't be bad for the economy. In fact, they kind of find that the Biden plan would be good for the economy. And here's a key assumption in all of these models you may read the results of in the newspaper. So they assume that Biden's taxes would be gigantic, and he would, in the long term, and that would tend to reduce federal government debt, that'll reduce so-called crowding out of private investment. So the Biden plan is assumed to increase U.S. investment in the long term because it reduces the government deficit. But, you know, does anyone really believe that Biden would use all the tax hikes to reduce deficits? I don't think so. I think higher taxes will fuel higher spending.
If we look at, say, another model of how this works, is there anything that you can say with confidence about what those plans bring?
Yeah, I think just about all his tax increases are very damaging. So he would increase the U.S. corporate tax rate, and he would broaden the U.S. Corporate tax base. He would hike taxes on the foreign profits of U.S. companies. That would be very damaging for U.S. multinational companies. He would repeal the small business tax break that was in the Trump tax plan from 2017. He would hike the payroll tax rate by 12% on people earning over $400,000 a year. He would increase the death tax rate. One of the most damaging and underreported tax increases Biden proposes would be increasing the federal capital gains tax rate on high earners from 24% to 40%. That would be a massive increase. And in my view, that would be extremely damaging for a high-tech industry, Silicon Valley entrepreneurship, because, of course, investment in risky high-tech startups and biotech startups, the return is a capital gain for the investors who put in the money for these long-term investments. And so I think this is really underreported because, as we know, Silicon Valley seems to be generally on the side of Biden and the Democrats, but they support this capital gains tax hike that I think would be very damaging to Silicon Valley in the long run. And he's got other tax increases. He would increase the top individual income tax rate and increase taxes on real estate and other industries. So I think this is very damaging, but unfortunately, I don't think the models that are these economic models that are estimating all these effects are really capturing the damaging effects that this would have on the economy.
Okay, so that's the tax side. What about on spending? You mentioned that over 10 years, his plans would increase federal spending by $10 trillion.
That's right. So if you can Google the Penn Wharton model Biden budget plan to get some of these details. But Biden would hike spending by about $2 trillion on education, $1.6 trillion on infrastructure, half a trillion on housing, half a trillion on, or 1.5 trillion on healthcare, on and on and on. One of the problems with the modeling of all this spending is that a lot of it is assumed to be good for the economy. So, for example, the Penn-Wharton budget model, models that Biden would increase infrastructure spending by $1.5 trillion, and they kind of assume that would be good for the economy. But, we know that a lot of government infrastructure spending is not good for the economy. It's a loss for the economy. As one example, Biden plans a massive spending on high-speed rail. But high-speed rail is very inefficient. Cost-benefit analysis shows that actually the benefits are far less than the costs. So I think these assumptions that the spending will be good for the economy is very off base. Another way to think about this is like this. So Biden would increase spending on, say, infrastructure and education by about $3 trillion, okay? This is spending that state governments usually do. State governments own most infrastructure. They provide public schools. But if you assume that this is good for the economy, it means that state governments are not spending enough on these activities now. But how do we know that? We have 50 state governments. They are deciding the optimal amount of education and infrastructure spending to do right now. So this is like the federal government coming in and saying, we as central planners in Washington know much better than you 50 states do on how much to spend on education and infrastructure. So modeling this spending as if it's good for the economy, I think really it's sort of like the central planning idea that Washington knows best. And so I think that there's fundamental problems with the way these economic modelers are judging the spending effects of Biden's plan.
Chris Edwards directs tax policy studies at the Cato Institute. Subscribe to the Cato Daily Podcast anywhere you please and follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.